Welcome along, everyone, for another episode of The Wrong End of the Tunnel. And in today's episode, last one seemed to go down quite well, so we're going to do a similar thing. This time, though, we're going to analyse some of the runs from Crufts that has just gone. 2024 Crufts for all of those who are watching in the distant, distant future. So, Dave, first of all, let's have a little chat. Let's have a recap about Crufts before we start analysing the courses too much. How did it go for you? Did you enjoy?
Enjoyed it, absolutely. Obviously, could have had better results, a couple of unlucky things, but yeah, it's always good fun.
Yeah, there's always something small that can go wrong, and it can make the difference between success and then not failure, because it definitely wasn't failure, but it can make it feel like less good than it, you know, really was. Yeah. Because, you know, do you want to talk about a couple of your, you were in the champ class with Susan on Sunday.
Yeah, I was in the champ class with Susie. She had the long jump was weird this year. It was so shiny. I can need these sunglasses on as I walk past it. I was like, oh, blinding me. I'm being a bit dramatic, but it was very bright. And I think if you look at the, I've put a video up, and if you look at the video, as there's a dead straight line to the long jump from the camera view, and it was so shiny. I think she just didn't even see it as a long jump. Susan's the kind of dog that doesn't, she needs to see things kind of before she'll do them. Otherwise, if it's something new, she goes a bit like, oh, what's that? And she just took the long jump out, but quite a good time on that run. And then second in the agility to Dolph, who was only like 0.2 off him. So I was super happy with that, because Cliff is obviously phenomenal. Then in the final, she had a little blip, but I think we'll see, because we're going through that run and her pole down. So we didn't get a place. Well, we did what we did. I don't know what it was. But yeah, we had a pole down in the final, which was my fault. But we can talk about that when we see her run.
Yeah, but it was that you mentioned the long jump. I was going to bring that up. It caused a few problems for a few different dogs. I wasn't sure what the issue was to start with. It wasn't this, but I initially thought the end piece was too tall. But looking back at the runs, it's like you said, it was the reflection off the light seemed to make a big difference, didn't it?
Yeah, it was that. And I think in a couple of classes, it was just put at a slightly awkward angle, especially off an A-frame. And it was jumping into the wall a little bit. So I think a lot of dogs, I think that was the singles final, I think every large dog had it down. But I think a lot of us also have been training on the smaller long jump because we've only got a 4 foot long jump, actually a soft one for tryouts. So I actually probably haven't done, even though I've made it very long, I haven't done one of the high ones for quite some time. So I think that I just need to remember to practice the UK long jump as well as an international one.
Yeah, I think we spoke about it, about the fact that like Crufts being so close to the GB tryouts, it's very hard to prepare your dogs for both, because they're both quite different, aren't they?
It really is, compadre. I didn't end up not preparing for Crufts at all, because for me personally, I want to be more prepared for the tryouts rather than the Crufts, because we're not going to jump over massive, put them around massive wings and longer poles and stuff when you've got tryouts coming up. And it depends what's more important to you, obviously. But for me, the tryouts are more important than Crufts is.
Yeah, I was the same. I felt a bit sorry for Duck. She was obviously qualified for the novice because last year she came out for her first year. But all winter, we've kind of been preparing for GB tryouts. And then she comes back and has to do novice courses, and it's really difficult. Very, very different from what we've been prepping on. So it was a challenge, should we say. And like I said, the one course that I'm going to analyze of my own today, we did less than ideal on, and we definitely looked like a novice partnership. But there's lots to analyze, I suppose. So we will take the good bits from it and obviously talk about the bits that could have been better. But Cop did really good on the Sunday as well, got his third place in the international.
And yeah,
I was good, wasn't I? I was very tempted to put a sneaky run in, but you told me we can't, so I didn't.
I'd have been livid at you. Livid, I would have been. Not until we've retrained that creature.
But I did. I put a stop in, and he still put a good time in, so I was pleased with that, wasn't I? He was a good boy.
Yeah. I think the time would have been amazing if he'd had a run. So, it was a good point. Very good point.
We'll keep it for the next summer season, and hopefully we'll be ready by the time the season starts to put the run back in. Fingers crossed. So, looking forward then, just quickly, it's been a really busy 3 weeks for us. We had GB tryouts, which we've talked about. We had Crufts this last weekend, and now we've got the final weekend of the GB tryouts coming up, haven't we?
Oh, no, I'm nervous. Excited to get it done, to be honest. But there should be fun courses. Neil's judging. We We've got some cool, he'll set up some cool courses. That'd be hard though. So yeah, let's just see what the weekend brings.
Yeah, it should be a good challenge. I'm looking forward to it as well. Like you said, it's excitement, anticipation, a little bit of nerves. It's all good though. I'm
No.
looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's all to play for still, really. So
Yeah.
let's see what happens.
Yeah, and once that's done, we'll have a little chat about that as well. Whether we do some analysis or just talk about it in general, that'll perhaps be the next podcast. But before we look too far forward then, let's have a look at some of the runs from this weekend, sorry. And the first one we do, as I say, I've picked my worst run. I'm not always this bad. We've got Duck in her novice jumping run. So the first thing that we're going to do, we're going to have a look at the course plan, just talk through it a little bit. Okay, so here is the course plan for the Novice Cup jumping. It was actually the first run of Crufts, I think. I'm not
I think it
sure.
was.
Okay, so we've got fairly standard opening, Dave, would you say? One, two, three into a
Quite
pinwheel.
often a nice, easy opening. Obviously, Andrew Dicker loves to set a pinwheel. This is one of his favorite things.
Yeah.
So there's going to be one of those in there, at least one. So you have a nice little pinwheel, three, four, five.
I don't really think there's too much options with regards to handling. One,
No.
two, three, four, five. I think the only
Obviously.
choice you get is whether to front cross or blind on five.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Or obviously run it all on the right and then rear cross seven. But I think most people switch sides. And like always with cross, they're never set out quite like they are on the plan. You get a general idea of the plan, but you can decide how you're going to run it, and then you walk it, and it's completely different. So you kind of have to be prepared that it's not going to be the same.
Yeah, and one thing that I will say about this course plan, like all the guys who do the course changes, they have to do it really quickly and they do a good job. So I'm
Yeah, of
definitely
course.
not knocking any of them. But number seven was quite a lot offset from the long jump on this.
Yeah.
So on the course plan, I had planned to do a catch and then run up on my left arm and then re-across the tunnel. But
Yeah.
once you're actually on the course, seven was offset quite a lot. And the catch I thought would have dragged them too close this way. So I ended up doing it as a front cross and then a push into the tunnel.
Probably actually made it better.
It would have made it better, but obviously what happened, it did not make it better. But that was the plan. I just thought that's worth mentioning. And then obviously on here you can see after the weaves that three looks like a little bit of a trap. But what I will say is on the actual course, three was like this. It was way closer to the
Okay, yeah,
exit.
it was much closer to weaves than it looked dead, absolutely.
So a lot of people who picked to blind the weaves, they didn't cross quick enough and they opened three up and there was a couple of dogs who took this as a trap. And then
I
the
think this is a very hard course because without the grid lines on it, for people to set this course up, it's hard because you can't measure out from the sides. And I don't know if they had a grid line on their course when they were doing a setup, but it needs grid lines on really to know exactly where to place each piece of equipment.
Yeah, it was. There's a couple that were just a little bit off, and it just made it a little bit more difficult. So that was fine. And then the run home, this 13, 14, 15 wasn't a problem, but the tunnel curved towards nine a little bit. So
Yeah.
you kind of had to push this last line to make sure the dogs didn't come in. They had to basically change lead leg a little bit to push back out to 16.
Well, that's what we always say about like if we use things twice. I don't like always like using tunnels twice in different directions because it has to incorporate two jumps, 9 and 16. So it has to kind of be awkward. So you have to push. I don't like lead leg pushaways out of tunnels because it just makes it a bit awkward for the last line. But it is at Crufts, so you only have two tunnels, so it's
So,
sometimes quite hard to
yeah, it is quite hard,
set.
and it's like I said, it's the fact that they have to set it up to a timetable, and there's no, you have to get it done in a certain time, and then after that, you haven't got a choice, you just got to do it. So I do feel it's a difficult job.
It's been all right. It's quite a nice novice course. It's a very English course, which is fine because we're in England, but it is just a more of a traditional English style with like a bit of a snake line, a pinwheel. But I think it flows quite nicely on paper.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the course plan. Let's have a look at the run now. Okay, so this is the start of the novice. I just released Duck. She goes through the tyre and then she lands a little bit long there and then I'm late. So I have to rush and put a blind in.
What?
And then this is the
Are you
disaster.
late?
She turns the wrong way and
Oh
then I have
my
to
God,
flick
how did you
away.
miss that? Oh.
And then she misses the bloody weaves. After all that, she misses the weaves.
Yeah,
So we're going to watch the rest of it and then we're going to highlight the bits I did badly and how I could have done it better.
yes. Oh, that was crap, that jump out the weeds, wasn't it?
It was way harder, especially if you blinded. Okay. So, let's take that back to the beginning then, Dave. I'll talk through the bits that I noticed were a problem at the time and what I was thinking. So after one and two, I'm going to press play now and I'm going to let it go to the part after she lands past the tyre. And what you'll see is she hits the tyre and I hear it. And then I don't manage the next turn. So let's watch that. So I've just pressed start now. She's releasing. So you can't really see it, but she knocks the tire. It doesn't open, but she hits it. And it was enough to take my eye off what was happening. And on the video here, you'll see I'm looking back. And my plan here was to handle this left turn with two arms, which is kind of a more decel for her. And essentially, I don't do that. And then she lands way too long.
The tire looked like it was at quite an awkward angle, to be honest.
It was. It was a little bit different from the course plan, and it didn't line up with the dog's natural lines.
It wasn't straight at all. Even on the course plan, you can see it doesn't look straight. It should have been more to the left, because it's just a bit of an awkward angle to put a tire on. And then, yes, you're just running like a lunatic out there, didn't you?
Yeah.
Didn't put much decel in for the third jump.
No, it's definitely
But the weeds weren't anywhere near the trap as they looked on paper.
No, exactly. It was really strange with the way that things worked. And like I said, hitting the tire, I knew that would be an issue at the start. And when I heard it, I looked back and then I stopped managing it. So she went too long on number three. And then I have to hold on number four to pull her over it rather than her going round the back. So let's watch that. So I'm holding to pull her through. And now my plan was to front cross this jump, but I know I'm going to be late. So I have to change my mind and do a blind really quickly. And as a result, she lands long.
But that wasn't a bad blind, to be honest. I don't mind that you had to blind that.
Yeah, it just wasn't a plan, though. But it just goes to show that when something goes wrong, if you don't fix it quick enough, the rest goes wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah, because when you're always on the back foot then, you're trying to rush to catch up and it all goes to shit.
So let's have a look at this bit where she turns the wrong way. It's possibly the worst bit of the course for her to turn the wrong way, because she has to do a long jump at 90 degrees. So let's stop. Yes. So at this point when she's taking the turn, I would like my shoulders to be facing the new direction. And even though I do give the correct verbal, my body language is not telling her to turn back towards me. As you can see from the video, shoulders are facing across the pole and I'm not turned into it. I'm still not turned into it, and that's why she's going across the pole. So bad handling on my part from the start, basically. I could have done more.
Yeah, you ran in too deep. I do think the wings don't help on crofts as well. Those large wings, they just don't seem to wrap them quite as well sometimes. They seem to just make them more encourage them to slice than wrap, because we had a lot of dogs in a lot of the days actually flicking on slices rather than wrapping, and they usually are quite rappy dogs. Yeah. So. Yes, one, she should have listened to her verbal, but two, yes, you could have helped out more with physical. You got in a bit deep. I think you could have sent from a bit further out.
I think it was just rushing, wasn't it? Playing catch up,
just rushing. Yeah, you're rushing
enough
to last bit.
And to go to...
And usually, she does do a wrap, so...
Yeah, she's usually really good off a verbal, but like I said, she wasn't this time, so I have to look at what I could have done to help, and that is what I could have done to help. And the other thing that is worth mentioning, like you said... Had I been able to prep for crufts, I would have brought these wings in, but I haven't. I've been prepping for GB stuff and she hasn't seen them, so partly my fault.
None of us have. Yeah, to be honest, I actually forgot they had those massive wings at crufts, the same as the Olympia wings, aren't they?
Yeah.
I assumed they just had smaller wings there, but no, they are the really big wings, and it does make a difference to how the dogs jump and how they see a jump. Lots of small dogs really struggle with the backsides because of the extra large wings.
Yeah.
So it does make a difference to everything.
So let's have a look at what happens now. I realize she's turning the wrong direction and I immediately think, right, I'm going to have to call her to me, then flick her away. Oh. So it's a bit of a nightmare. Like she lands and I'm thinking, shit, I have to front cross to get her back. And then I have to straighten her up. And then I have to flick her away.
Yeah.
So it was not ideal.
You actually got over that long jump, to be honest.
And me as well. I actually thought at this point... We're done.
Lucky they get marked long jump markers. Yeah. So it was you that had that done, wasn't it?
I don't know. Let's have a look at that again. I'm not saying it
wasn't. I don't know. It might have been her. Luckily, she jumped the right side of it. She nearly jumped the wrong side of it.
She did. Let's have a look, see if it was me.
No, I think it was her. Then it hit you on the way down.
But then we got through that bit. And I thought maybe I was late on the blind putting her into the weaves, but let's have a look.
No, I don't think you were.
No, I think...
And
I,
you decelled in.
Yeah, I think I was.
I don't really know why.
Maybe like she could just get a little bit better on. But again, if you want to talk about Crufts prep, the gap from the tunnel to the weaves was minimum distance. I would have done more of that as prep.
You know what? I bet you haven't done a lot of straight line entries with her for a while.
I haven't, no.
And quite often they're the hardest entries. And we always do the hard entries, don't we? Discrimination, side on entries, hard entries from the side, from distance. Straight line entries are often, it's one of the last things I teach a young dog is a straight line entry, because I think that's the hardest one for them to figure out when they just see a line of straight bars ahead of them.
Yeah.
To actually come into detail to get the entry right, I think is hard.
Yeah, and I think again, it was a little bit as well from the winter where we've been doing a lot of work out of tunnels coming at speed, and she just hasn't learned to decel coming out of a tunnel. So again, not her fault.
She went back through those weaves. Should she not have been eliminated for going back through those weaves?
No, because she only weaved back through one. I think the ruling is they have to weave back through more than one. Is that right?
Okay, they're allowed to run through them. I don't know. I'm not very good with rules. Yeah. I'd have to read up. So if they only go back through one, it's not an E. Okay.
I think that's right. Now, when she went into the weaves, I wasn't sure that she, because I expected her to just find it, I didn't look at the entry. I only realised she missed it when I saw Andrew Dicker lift his hand up to say it was a five. So that's why I let her weave through, because I didn't even realise she'd missed it until I saw him mark it.
Okay, I wonder why he stops us so late.
Yeah, that's why. But there we go. That was my run. There was plenty of bits that we could have done better on there.
The actual tunnel entrance was not curved toward at the end, it was not curved toward the other jump, it was curved toward the finish quite nicely.
Yeah, let's just show that. So we thought that possibly this tunnel was going to be curved towards this jump, but it doesn't. As I say, it's different from the course plan, it curves out quite nicely and you get a nice finish line there. So she actually got to run through there quite nicely.
Yeah, quite nice. And also that jump before the tunnel was straight rather than angled to 14.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's just like I said, it just doesn't always come out like it is on the course plan.
I agree. It's just a little bit different, but it's enough to make it quite a lot
different. Yeah, just make it different when you walk it, yeah.
Hi guys, Dalton and Jody here from Better Dog.
We have just launched our new product, Better Hydration, the goat's milk hydration drink for dogs.
It's packed full of natural ingredients designed to give them that extra boost, whether they are working, competing, or just simply enjoy an active lifestyle.
Head over to wearebetterdog.com to find out what it's all about and use your exclusive discount code WRONGENDOFTUNNEL for 10% off.
Because every dog deserves better.
So the next one that we're going to look at then, David, is yours. And we're going to watch it from the large champ final. So, once again, first thing that we're going to do is have a look at the course plans. So here is the large championship agility final, the pinnacle of the weekend for all of us in agility. Again, I'm going to just let you talk about it, Dave, and what you see on the course plan and any dangers, any traps, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I really liked this course, actually. It was good fun. It was a really fun final course, partly because it had some options in it too, which we'll talk about. So 1, 2, 3, I think a lot of people handled very differently. Some people handled it all on the right arm. Some people did a rear cross on 3. So I did a blind after the long jump. So loads of different options there, because I think everyone's a bit worried about the long jump after everything that's been happening. But I don't think in this run, any dogs had it down. I think it was on quite good, good pacing. But I'll talk about that when we come to my run. So push out for the slice on 6, A frame, front cross 8. I think everyone did that. Centre 9. Again, out this tunnel, out of number 10 tunnel, you could either go to the left wing on the slice, which meant a lot of lead leg changes, or you could go for the inside wing for the further wrap or get the blind in and backside wrap. So I chose the slice, and I think most people did. A couple of people chose the wrap. But the slice, I think, again, when I paced it out, was the quicker route because of the angle they then take the tyre. They get so much more speed through that slice. Tire weaves. The weaves weren't as offset as they look on the paper. They were more straight line. Peel off the weaves for the dog walk. Now, after the dog walk, number 15, 16, it looks like quite an awkward line and it looks like 20 might be a trap. Well, 20 definitely wasn't a trap. It was miles away. And the line to the tunnel at 16 wasn't as awkward as it looks here. They definitely made that a little bit different.
Okay.
17, 18, 19, 20, this big loop. Obviously, you had to be out of the tunnel to help them with 17 because there was a lot of trap jumps out that tunnel. And then a bit of a call in. So 18 isn't actually facing the tunnel at all. You almost had to give them a bit. You had to let them jump a bit long on 17. And then they got a perfect line 18 to 19 to the finish. It was quite a fun finish because everyone was screaming and you had to re-race down there. So, yeah, I think on the whole, a really cool cross-final course. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I didn't run it by. I liked the look of it. A couple of things from a spectator's point of view then, and you can tell me what you thought. Number 11 looks more offset on the course map than it actually was. Was that right? Or would you say that it was about where
It was a lot closer to that tile than it actually was. It was really tight. It was awkward to get the blind in and push to the backside wrap. So it was very close, and it was quite obvious to take the face of it.
Yeah, agree. It was more like shifted over this way, I think, from the videos it seemed like anyway. I hadn't actually seen this course plan, but 18, the angle of 18 looks way different from what it actually was.
Yeah, 18 was almost obviously a jump. It wasn't a treadle at all on 17. Like it was more, basically a straight jump.
And so you had to go watching the video with a right like one. This. Yeah. Okay. I agree with you. Nice. I think it's a nice final course. There's not too much in it, but there's enough in it to make it interesting. So this is your run. They see, you know, we come on and you're giving Susan a nice little massage. You leave her in a start.
Okay, so you can see there, I'll talk about that in a minute when we go back to it, but I just made that blind off the long jump. She was quite nippy off the start.
She was.
Here, she didn't go around that EM's jump. That was the downfall of my run.
Yeah.
Then my pole came down. Yeah, it was my pole down. It was my fault. I was messy on my front cross, but she was looking super speedy, even barking through her weaves, because she does hate her weaves. She had every one of her dog walks was absolutely perfect. I was super happy with those. And look, I didn't even make it on the end on the last line. I had to layer. It was not my plan to do that layering at the end, but she kind of just shot out that tunnel like a little bullet and I couldn't catch her. Old and slow.
So let's take it back to the beginning now. A couple of things that I noticed then, and I want you to tell me what you were thinking. I think I know, but I think it's good for other people to know as well. So, Susan, you leave her in a stand, and then you didn't leave her for too long, did you?
No, I need to work on my way. She wouldn't break it, but I'm more worried about her. She sometimes nips past the first jump if I leave her too far, and because of the big wings, I was worried she might just look at me rather than the wing. And because of her, I didn't set her in a straight line to that long jump because I was worried about her taking off too early again and crashing it. So I set her a bit of an angle to one. So as she landed, she would take two strides before the long jump to make sure she got in nice and deep to it and jumped it properly. Even then, she still hit the last element of it because I was a little bit late on my blind because of my start line.
So that's what we're going
to do now. Something I need to work on. I need to get more confident with my start line and then I can trust her a bit more. But she did it really nicely and she was super speedy along it.
You said at the start that she kind of caught you by surprise. She did come off the start very, very fast. I'm just going to start it again now so that we can see her up to the tunnel. And you'll see what Dave means with regards to him not quite getting there as early as he would like to. But in all fairness to Susan, she read it really nicely, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. And she turned lovely into that tunnel too. Oh, she was speedy there.
So she's coming off and, So what Dave is saying is by here, at the point where she's committing, Dave is still not crossed, okay? So what you would like, Dave, is to be on the other side of the long jump before she's committing to it, right?
Yeah, so as she lands, she's actually not just seeing my ass, she's actually seeing the full jump.
Yeah, so
there's a little bit of my ass in the way.
There's a little bit of butt in the way, yeah. You need to reduce the amount of junk in her face and then... But she did really good there. Like, managed to keep that last element of the long jump up, as you said. Let's watch that bit again.
Yeah.
So again, he's landing off the jump one. He wants to get that blind in early enough so that this should be clear and Dave should kind of be more here. So she's got somewhere to land.
Yeah.
But she did really good, actually.
She definitely did. She might be able to keep that up. She did knock it and I heard it knock and I did look back at some point just going along to see, make sure it was still up when I was going towards the seesaw.
Again, though, she did turn really nice on number 3 into number 4.
If you look, as she goes into that tunnel, you can see me look completely back at the long jump to see if it's still up.
Look, there he is. Look, looking at the long jump. Oh, it's still up. Very nice.
Oh, brilliant. Keep going.
Okay, so let's stop it onto the seesaw now. So she's on the seesaw. Nice
seesaw.
Right, so this is the bit where she kind of squirms to come in, doesn't she? But then you stay on it, fair play, you didn't leave it too soon. So let's have a look, just see her. She wants to come to the face, but then Dave stays on it and pushes her to the back. Let's watch. She's in and she's out. Yeah?
She literally pops out last minute, and I do think that wasted her that half second that she was off of, she was half second off Clippy's time, and this was definitely wasted a little bit. I mean, I'm not saying she would have beaten Clippy at all. Clippy's incredible, but she definitely would have saved a little bit of time for that. I don't know why she wasn't going to the backside. I think, again, the big wings do put them off. A couple other dogs took to the face of that as well. And I was actually pushing her. You can see my foot is right there to push her out. Yeah. I didn't leave it to chance. She still wanted to nip in the little bugger.
But fair play to her, she was very honest.
She was good. She's always an honest little creature, bless her heart. But then because I'd wasted time there, I then shot off, raced my front cross and didn't control it at all. She needed to put in an extra stride, and that's why we had the pole down.
So let's have a look at that bit.
My fault for not controlling the front cross.
Yeah, so like Dave said, basically because of the fact that he needed to kind of not overhandle, but ensure that she read it as the push round here, there. So Dave's standing a little bit longer than he would have liked to. He would have liked to be rotated at this point and running off. But he had to manage that bit a little bit. And what that meant is he's a little bit further back than he'd like to have been. So as she's coming off the A-frame here, he already should, ideally, in an ideal world, be on the landing side of that front cross to show more decel, Dave, yeah?
Yeah, I think I just didn't rotate enough. And then as she did take off, I didn't hold it to make sure she collected a bit. I just raced off to go and get that push out the other next tunnel, and that's when she just dropped those legs. I don't do a lot of those landing side front crosses, and I definitely don't work her enough on them to get the collection stride, because she's generally quite tight. I don't always work on it, but she could definitely be tighter on those, and I think that's on my homework list this week to get her collecting a bit better on those, and me just handling them better, not backing off so much, but actually staying in a bit tighter and forcing that extra stride for the collection.
I think as well, it's really unlucky, because we were just watching her here now, and she goes over that jump, and as she's landing, the pole is still up.
Yeah, it falls really late. Just didn't quite flick her ass up enough. So the black legs just clipped it. But like I said, my fault. She could have tried harder, of course, but I could have helped her out a lot more.
So let's just look at that sequence again.
She's not really a pole dog. She hardly ever has a pole. So it's obviously when she does, it's generally either a backside or something like that, which is my fault.
She did read the turn really nicely, though. It's like I said, it's just she just didn't quite collect just enough. It was an unfortunate one for sure. I think, like you said, it was just the fact that she wanted to pull in from the seesaw just made everything a little bit rushed, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Let's just have a look at the rest of the run now. So it was a nice push out there, and that's a really hard jump for her to keep the pole up. Not just her, anyone.
Problem is, now we've just done all these nice 5-foot poles, we've got to now train 4-foot poles again, ready for the weekend, which is going to be a nightmare for their backsides.
So what Dave does really good on this jump, just he probably didn't think to mention it, but I think it's worth mentioning. Rather than just sending her and then running off, what Dave does is he holds on this push round. So watch Dave's arm. Still up. He's holding on it so she feels supported and she's not rushing it. And now that she's over,
yeah,
there,
more than
now he's
in the blind turn.
That's it. Now he's reconnecting on that blind turn. But again, what I think is really good here, and again, maybe some people might not see this, Dave's line pulls away from the weaves to help Susan find the entry. So let's just have a look at that and all in one go. Watch Dave's line. Now he's pulling away from the weaves. See? And that helps her find the entry. So from here, his line could be just straight to the weaves. But watch where Dave ends up. He's right next to the boards. So he's going away. And then he reacrosses to help her find that entry. So that's something that you're helping her with. It might be overlooked, but I think it's important. That could have made her either hit the tyre or it could have made her miss the weave entry.
That's what I was worried about there. If I ran with the tyre on my left, I worried I was pushing into her line a little bit. And last time I did that, she took a tyre out at the last tryouts. So I was making sure I was definitely not going to be doing that again.
We're on the dog walk now, and I always like watching Susan's dog walk because she does about 1,000 lead leg changes.
So cute on it. Anything to try and hit that contact. She's such a good girl. Especially she does an extended trot over it with her front legs.
And like we said on that course plan, this looks quite awkward on the course plan, but I think it was set really nicely and they get to land nice and long, stay in extension, and then really go through that tunnel fast. Again,
she actually landed a bit long jump after the dog walk, which is why I didn't then make it to the top, because I held. So a couple of dogs went and took that A-frame.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, make sure you don't run off too early in case she takes the A-frame. So I just held a little bit, got her in the tunnel. That's when I was behind for the last line and had to do that little sneaky layer.
So watch as she's coming out the tunnel. Dave's job is to make sure that she doesn't come towards him and find this jump. And the way that he does that is he really supports this jump by putting his leg and his arm out and supporting her line. So watch. He doesn't start decelling until Susan has already committed to this jump. He's still pushing. And it's only as she commits, that's when Dave is decelling. Yeah.
And I didn't want her to turn super tight. But anyway, as you can see from that spot, the line into that tunnel, the wider they go, the tougher, nicer route they get into that tunnel for that next jump.
What Dave's saying is if she turns too tight here, the natural line for this next bit is pushing this way. So what he wants is a longer line out so that this line is straighter coming back. And that's kind of
you can see she gets a dead straight line pretty much.
Yeah, it was good. Like I said, apart from that one bit, I thought the actual run was really good, and the time kind of supports that as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, she would have been like, I think she would have been third. I think so, but with her time, but obviously wasted that little bit of a wiggle. But you know, we can all say that with our runs, and wasted it here, wasted it there. So for for a 4-year-old dog, I couldn't be happier with her, and it was like I said. My fault for not controlling the front cross with the pole down. So very happy with her. She looks super speedy, up with the best dogs in the world. I mean, to be anywhere near Clippy's time is always nice because she's just so good and so fast, and Lemons. So, super happy with her.
That's why I was going to give a quick shout out as well. Obviously, we all know Clippy's an incredible dog. You know, she won the EOs and the Worlds. The other thing that I thought was worth mentioning as well was how well Lemon did. I thought her times were fantastic.
Lemon's just, I've always had so much faith in Lemon. Like, I just always have thought she's an incredible dog. And I was just in so unlike second places and everything, man. It is frustrating. I had that with an old dog, Billy. He got so many seconds, a brilliant dog, but never quite got those wins. Did eventually, but it still was a lot of second places. And Lemon's the same. I mean, she's been so consistent at Crufts on so many second bloody places. I do feel sorry for Nara because it's a bit demoralizing. I had to remind her that she's still so famous, the dog, I mean, and everyone loves Lemon. She's just a lovely dog and couldn't be prouder of her as a friend for what she's done with that dog, because she's brilliant.
Yeah, well, I just thought it was worth a mention because I thought all day, I really like Lemon, obviously, but I thought all day her times were awesome. She's running really, really well. She had an awesome season last year with the second in the Worlds. And I feel her pain for her second places because I had plenty of them last year as well. But definitely worth a shout out because I was like, not impressed because I know how good Lemon is, but I just thought she was running so good and definitely worth a mention.
Yeah. So funny because Susan and Lemon's times, we call them the prawns because they sometimes prawn over jumps, their little back legs up. prawn power. But they get such similar times all the time, Lemon and Susan. They're really similar dogs in so many ways. Really try their hardest. They try to go clear. They don't try to have poles down. They'll jump stupid to try and keep the pole up. And it shows across all their times were so close on each run. So, to be anywhere near Lemon and Clippy's time makes me super happy.
The final one that we're going to look at then, we're going to look at Katrina Hands, or Cat as we know her. We're going to look at the Small Champ Final Course with her and her dog Sizzle. So first things first, let's have a little look at
Sizzle.
Okay, so this is the course in question with Cat running with Sizz. And again, first things first, Dave, you can talk us through it. Have a, like I said, mention the things that you think of as traps and then possible handling choices.
So, championship final for small and medium. So, 1, 2, 3 should, in theory, be quite an easy line, all on the left arm. So, and then 11 could have been a bit of a trap. I think it actually was for at least one dog. 11 was a bit of a trap on that long jump, but I think because she was a bit too far behind. I remember that one. 4 into the weaves, got to pull off the weaves. Obviously, 18 on this plan is quite a big trap out the weaves. And then on today, friends, you need to switch sides. So you can either probably blind out the weaves, front cross out the weaves, or blind after 5, depending on how much you want to trust number 18 there, if they didn't take 18. A-frame on your right arm, over 7 and 8, that's quite close, but just in a little, don't even need my backside really, just the left cue on 7 over 8, but you couldn't be too far down there. So I think you needed to get you need to do 9, 10, 11, 12. Yes, so you kind of needed, the best option probably would have been a blind after 10, So, or not, you can thread a wrap 11, one or the other, and then do 12 and 13 on your right arm. So yeah. You did, looks like the tunnel's actually not pushing to 10, but I think it is. So that's probably quite a hard section because all that speed up to 10 massively pushes them to the back of 11. So you kind of had to control 10 to thread a wrap or get the blind in after 10. 11, 12, 13 onto the seesaw. 14, 15, I suppose if you're behind there, they could have cut across into that tunnel at 9. Into the tunnel 16, nice big fast line. I think a lot of dogs struggled taking that wall, if I remember watching that. It was kind of, it's quite a narrow wall. The other poles were 5 foot, I think it's 4 foot wide. So it's quite narrow and it was stuck in the corner. So I think a lot of dogs weren't quite seeing that and people were peeling off to try and get to the back of 18. 18, and then dog walk needed to really, I think, be on your left. So they, I think most handlers changed size at 18, otherwise that tunnel was sticking out too far. And then just a nice drive down tunnel, dog walk, and onto the last jump. But yeah, so again, nice flowy course, lots of speed, some trappy areas. It can't be too hard across because there's so few dogs in it. If they make it too hard, then they just don't get clears and don't get anyone winning the ticket. So it kind of has to be dumbed down a little bit. I think this was actually set at quite a good level, hard enough, but not ridiculous.
So the bits that I would say are the concern just going off the plan is, as you say, the trap off the weaves on 18, because if you're rushing to get down here to get a blind in, you might potentially leave number four too early and then just leave them take what they want. I don't know. I don't think any did that, but I would say that is a concern. Now, Dave has said that he would pick to either cross in between four and five or in between five and six. I think one way that you could potentially encourage more speed is to do a blind after the A-frame. That might be an option.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, everyone's going to be pushing up here. So it's going to definitely show the face of 11, like Dave mentioned. So if you can get another cross in, I think the best place is between 10 and 11. Otherwise, like Dave said, you've got to make sure that you're threadle wrapping on 11. And the important thing then is to not push again. Because if you push too much, the body language will push them to the face of the jump.
Quite a trappy little area then as well. Because if they do turn too tight in 11, they could look at the back of the long jump again. Yeah. It's quite a trappy little section there. I quite like it. It's coming from a lot of speed as well. It was quite fun.
13, 14, 15 then, off the plan, I think 15 is kind of like you need them to land long coming on to 14 so that this line becomes more swoopy. Otherwise, it's kind of offset.
If they cut it tight, then it's more so looking at number 9 tunnel.
Yeah, agree. And I think from memory, a lot of dogs were trying to pull in off this tunnel because the handlers were supporting 15 and then getting up here late. So the handlers were kind of there.
Yeah.
And the dogs were coming out looking at the handlers rather than focused on the obstacle in front.
I think as well, because they were sending 16, then they had run up along the A for the dog walk. The dogs probably felt them peeling off to the left a little bit when they were going into that tunnel, which is why they weren't firing on forward to get to that wall. I think it did make the handlers peel to the left. And I think as the dogs going in the tunnel, they felt the handlers peel off. And that's why they weren't all driving onto that wall at the top.
Okay, so let's have a look at Cat run it first then. Over one.
Sizzle my schnizzle.
Oh, she pulled off that long jump there. Good fixing it. Well done for fixing it.
That jump is quite a trap off that long jump as well, that one up to the left. And you can see from that angle. Nice, auntie. She blinded before the A-frame. Very nice.
Yeah. Good speed.
Nice blind. What did you do here? Oh, it just got that blind in. I think that slowed the dog up a little bit, actually. It's a bit late there.
Yeah.
That's good seesaw. Very nice seesaw. Dog. You can see the handler pulling off to the left as going into that tunnel. You can see it happening on that as the camera position was perfect for it. Dog was going straight, handler peeling off.
Right, so let's take that back to the start. Good run. The first thing that we're going to talk is obviously about the only fault the cat had. Okay, so let's have a look. What could cat have done different on 2, 3, 4? Okay, so let's have a look at the start again. She's over two, and she's pulling in on three. So let's bring it back. Could Cat have maybe supported three with the left arm up?
I think if you look at the exact spot the dog starts pulling in, you can see Cat's shoulders are starting to rotate to the right because she wanted the curve on the long jump, and her right, she had both arms out. And I think the dog just couldn't believe it was having such a long straight line. Like I said, the courses do get, not dumbed down is the wrong word, but they are slightly easier than what we would generally see for tryouts and stuff. I think they're not expecting these just straight lines everywhere. So I think she was like, oh, it must be blind by now because we've done two jumps in a straight line. So I think Kat could have maybe just watched her a bit more of her left shoulder just to force it. And it also, if you look at it, the long jump is at that weird angle again. I just don't think they're seeing it quite right. I don't like to set long jumps on angles. I generally took them relatively straight because you want that extension over them. And just, so yes, Kat could have handled it better, but also it was a bit of a weird angle.
And just to reiterate the fact that the long jump was having a lot of light and reflection on it. Have a look at that long jump there. It looks like a mirrored surface.
You can see how shiny it is.
Looks like a mirrored surface. It's really hard for them. So the one thing that's really good is she saved it. She could have easily let that go, but she doesn't. She doesn't panic. Well, she gets around it and then carries on. So off the course plan, it looks like the jump after the weaves is maybe a little bit of a trap. But from this angle here, she's just coming out of the weaves. It's not even in sight, so maybe not so much of a trap when it comes to the actual course. And then, as Dave says, really nice. She gets that blind in between the jump and the A-frame. Then nice decel on that jump before. But then it's a foot race, isn't it?
Yeah, she needed to trust that jump before the tunnel a little bit, but more, because she just a little bit late on that blind and the dog slows up a tiny bit because she's got her ass in the way. Same as me on that long jump earlier.
So let's have a look at what Dave's talking about here. Now she's going over the A-frame, and what Dave's saying is not this jump, but the next jump. Kat could have maybe let her go over that on her own, because now it's just a straight foot race. Yeah.
Yeah.
From there, look, Sis is about 3 strides behind Kat, and it's just a straight foot race up. And what Dave is talking about, Kat does really nice. But look, at this point, Kat's not quite on the blind, and that's causing Sizzle to put some collection strides in.
Yeah, she jumps up instead of forward and sort of veers to the left a little bit to make sure she misses, doesn't hit Kat. And I think makes a bit look at her.
Yeah, I think a really good sign that you are late is when your dog starts barking at you.
Especially when Shelty's yipping all the time.
So let's watch. And she's barking, barking and bouncing. And it's just because Kat was only a tiny bit late, just a little bit late, but it's enough to take her out of that extension stride. So look, she's in extension stride, her head is down, she's really sprinting hard, and then head comes up, and it's because she can't quite stay in full extension. Nothing major, but just enough to maybe make a little bit of a difference.
Yeah.
And then let's just watch it through. Lovely seesaw. 14-15 doesn't look too bad. Kat puts her in the tunnel. And then, look, as she's coming out of the tunnel, Kat is doing everything she can to support this. Her handle line is pushing across. But straight away, immediately as Sizzle comes out the tunnel, comes curving back towards Kat, rather than... That's a big gap, isn't it? From the tunnel to that wall is quite a big gap.
Go to that shot as well as the dog's going into the tunnel from the low down shot. You can literally see dogs running straight, cats pulling off to the left. They're running in completely opposite directions because they have to, because of where the dog walk is. And that's why they're coming out that tunnel. Dogs will always want to run parallel. If they see you peeling off, they're going to want to peel that way too, rather than you peel off and they go straight. Large dogs will be different because they've come out the tunnel a bit more pushy, but smaller mediums especially are definitely going to want to curve in out that tunnel rather than push out. So Kat did everything she could to get her over that wall. She was really good to save it last minute. Good dog actually doing that.
So what Dave is saying is at this point now, Sis is about to go into the tunnel, but she can already feel Kat pulling away. So coming out of the tunnel. So Kat's pulling away because she has to. And then coming out of the tunnel, Sis is going to try and meet up with her and come back in. Yeah, already coming back in. Yeah, you can see that. And Kat's doing everything she can to push out to the wall. And now is when Sis has realised, oh crap, I've got to take the wall, and it's the change of lead leg. And she just manages to save it. It's really good
for her. Good to do that.
Yeah, really good. Tough bit that, especially for the small dogs. Like you say, Dave, there's a big gap between that tunnel and wall. So it's hard for them to have that forward obstacle focus, especially when they know the handler is so far away from them.
I might be wrong about what I said earlier about the wall being narrow. It definitely was at Olympia trials, but I think now maybe they've got a longer one. It looks like it's 5 foot, the same as the poles. Yeah. So I might have been wrong about that.
Maybe. You're allowed to be
not wrong. Not wrong, but I don't mind admitting when I am.
You're allowed to be wrong every now and again. But then that's the end of it then. She supports the running dog walk.
Nice dog walk.
Perfect.
And I wouldn't have liked that dog walk entry for a large dog because it's on the slice before. They would have curved out quite far to it. But for smaller mediums, I think they control their stride a bit better. So it was actually ended up okay.
Yeah, but that was good. I think... Yeah, there was good, some things that could be worked on. And even on a course where, for the most part, it looked like Kat had done really well, and she had. But there's always some stuff that we can work on to make a little bit faster, a little bit neater. And hopefully that kind of stuff helps you guys at home have a little bit of an insight into the things that you can be looking at to help. Yeah?
Yeah. That's all I got to talk.
Yeah. So that's it for us for today. Hopefully, again, that is something that you guys enjoyed. We will try possibly to do it from the next part of the GB tryouts. It really kind of depends how good the video quality is, because sometimes when it's being filmed off a phone, it's quite hard to see the different angles. We'll kind of base it off what we get, and we'll see how it goes, see if it goes down okay again, and if you guys like it, we will. If not, maybe we'll just talk about it. But from us for this week, that is all. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you want to say goodbye, Dave?
Goodbye, everyone. See you soon.
And that is the end of the podcast. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to listen. I really hope you enjoyed. If you think you might know someone else who would enjoy, feel free to pass on all the information and share the podcast with them. And get involved on any of the social media platforms. It really helps the podcast grow, and I really appreciate it. See you in the next one.